running the big church. Now, tonight's webcast will develop some critical thinking on all of our behalf. And many others of you will hear the name. I haven't even mentioned the name of the person yet because I want you to focus with me. Now, that scripture, again, that is the theme of our study tonight is, and I want you people to open up your Bibles and turn to it, Psalms chapter 81, verse 15. Don't fall into that category. 81 and 15 says, those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him. This is a powerful scripture. You really hate God, but you're pretending that you are obedient to him. And the psalmist says, and their time of punishment would be forever. See, we can't pretend to love Jesus. And it's not about what you know about what it says in the Greek and all this kind of stuff. All of that, everyone that you're concerned with, that you're doing business with, that you're tied in with, if you're in ministry, especially talking about Jesus Christ, that person has to be of like faith. And if that person is not, the Bible tells us to come out from amongst them and be ye separate. So, you haven't heard his name yet, and I know that when you hear it, you will probably turn the webcast off. Well, that's okay because you know me. I don't run from controversy. I told a fellow Christian during the Bible study that, like I said, I'm seeking to find one error in this book. And when I find one error in this Bible, I am out of here as a Christian. But I haven't found an error in 42 years. But guess where I'm finding the error? I'm finding the error in people that say that they are saved. I have found nothing within the Bible, the blessed word of God, that I should not believe. I place my confidence only in the teachings of scriptures. Now, I want you to hear me on this. I may like a person. I may be in company with a person. And a person can say something and it's the right thing to say. But my confidence is not in that person. Because if the person is not quoting the Bible, then my confidence surely is not in he or her. But every single promise that God has spoken in his word to me has satisfied my body, soul, and spirit. My perplexity is solely in the so-called big brothers of the faith who has in some cases single-handedly transformed their small neighborhood places of worship. And most churches started off like that into mega messy. Mega messy houses is what I call it, that are raising questions every day as we in this nation move swiftly towards the end of what we knew as the post-minded Christian society. Now, if you have your computers, and I hope that you can come into this, you just type this website into your computer and then you know where I'm going headed at. I'm going to give you this web connection because I think that, and Bob, that article that you're reading is not the main article. That's just, you know, capsulizes where we're going. But the main article I have on, as a matter of fact, let me show it to you right now. Wait a minute. Let me read a paragraph to you guys, and then you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Why don't you guys that are listening, tell me where you thought this paragraph came from. These are interesting words. Under the title, Leaders Training Leaders, the BMW website states, we strive to teach leaders how to think, not just what to think. In this way, we reproduce ourselves in a South American leader. Listen to this.
South African.
South African leaders. Thank you. Transformational ministries want to transform the people. They want to change their minds. The way one thinks is called one's paradigm. The goal of church growth is to shift one's paradigm from traditional obedience to authority, to transformational, compromising authority for group goals. They want to shift one's paradigm from individual thinking to group thinking, changing how one thinks. Brainwashing is referred to as a paradigm shift by church growth leaders. This paradigm shift usually takes place in change agent-led small groups and teams. Changing how one thinks is the goal of training change agents who can then go out and reproduce by changing how others think. An important part of BMW's ministry is called BMW's Change Workshops. Change Workshop number 2 enables church leaders to develop biblically dynamic core values and produce statements and vision statements. These statements are an essential part of the church growth transformation process. Okay, it goes on and says that Change Workshop number 3, this workshop endeavors to give some practical tips to how church leaders should handle proposing and implementing major changes in the church with maximum consensus and minimal dissent. No mention of obedience to God here. Just get as many as possible on board with the change program with minimal dissent. Now, thus far, as you listen to me read this, you're saying that couldn't be in a biblical church. Change workshop number 4, called Fostering the Harvest, the description states, unlike other workshops in the companion church connection in which a trained facilitator is needed, apparently trained facilitators are needed for some of these workshops. A facilitator is Satan's agent who plays a crucial role in total quality management and in church growth. And then it goes on and says that BMW, we'll get into that later, operates an email forum to facilitate discussions of issues related to missions called Think Spots. To facilitate discussion is to bring diverse opinions to consensus group harmony, group think. Each year we facilitate a conference on a field. And then it says one of the core values at BMW's is lifelong learning. Oh my God. The website states lifelong learning is necessary in ministry. Lifelong learning comes from UNESCO, and it is all about utilizing the dialectic process to achieve lifelong transformation away from God. Now, I got a letter. And Bob, you got one of these copies right here, because I gave you a copy.
Yes.
Of it. And this letter is what stimulated Bob and I were having a discussion on Monday, and it stimulated us to talk about this. And I want to read the letter that I received. And here on my big laptop, I went, Bob, to the actual website where all this stuff is taken from. And it says right here, the transformation of, well, you guys ready for the name? Here I am, 30 minutes into the webcast. This website says, the transformation of John MacArthur's Grace Community Church and the Master's Academy International. How change agents are transitioning Grace Community Church and the Master's Academy into the new world order. Now, I know you're in shock, so I'm just going to ask you to breathe deep. Breathe deep, because I got the website, and I'll give you the website. As a matter of fact, I was going to give it to you earlier. I'll give it to you right now. And I hope that you can. No, you know what I did is I typed in my Google search. I typed in my Google search, John MacArthur, and then capitalize MEDA, M-E-D-A. John MacArthur and MEDA. And all this stuff will pop up. Tons of information that Bible Discernment Ministries and other groups have done investigating these people. Now, you have to make sure that you go into the Google search. And when I went into it, that's what gave me this deal. It's kind of weird because it wouldn't pop up the first time. I want to read this letter that this brother sent to me. And as I read this letter, because it is obvious where he got the information from. It says, John MacArthur's ministry in the Honduras is called MIDA. Not long ago, Vice President of the Honduras thanked MIDA for its, quote, willingness to serve. This brother writes and says, why would the Vice President of the Honduras thank MIDA for its willingness to serve? Is the Vice President of Honduras thanking MIDA for its service to Jesus Christ? Now, in the article that I came up on, it talks about literally millions of dollars given to these church-spreading organizations, not by the people of Grace Community Church, because they don't have that money. The money comes from elsewhere. And these principles that I just read to you are being shared on the MIDA website. Now, wait a minute. It says right here, says the Vice President of Honduras has visited MIDA more than once. What kind of service is John MacArthur's ministry provided in Honduras that would merit the thanks of their Marxist socialist communitarian VP? Now, that's a good question. What are people associated with a Christian church dealing with Marxist socialists in a Marxist socialist society and country and someone heavy in that way? Then it says, could MIDA be an intelligence operation in the Honduras? This is this Christian man asking the question. Of interest, he says MIDA is also training men to lead cell churches in Cuba. Now, that is making a significant stance there, because in Cuba, then it says, according to MacArthur's church literature, which this person calls propaganda, there is an explosion in Christianity in Cuba. And then this person says, who knew that? Well, I didn't know until I read his email. Then it says, who finances MacArthur's international ministries? A governor of the Council of National Policy, a very powerful intelligence organization. And all this stuff is right there on the internet for you to read. You can take days reading it, because a lot of people have documented this. I'm just sharing it with you because I've said to you all my Christian experience. When I find out that somebody got some dirt on him, I'm just reading it. And those of you that know that I know John and I have a great affinity for his ministry and all that, I need somebody to contact me, and so that I can make a rebuttal web broadcast to say that I was wrong. That's all I'd like to do. Anyhow, it goes on and says, are MacArthur's ministries building Satan's one world church and government? This is what this brother is asking. Then he says, are there hundreds of facilitators at Grace Community Church now? Are dossiers are kept, and are cameras used there would follow for surveilling the congregation? It seems that Grace Community Church is a huge mind control operation. Then this writer says, but don't expect anyone else to give you this information. He's talking to me, and he's right, because ain't nobody going to give me this information. They're not going to give me and Bob and Mark this. And some of you right now are tweaking right now. Right behind me when you look at my videos are all of his commentaries. I buy his books. But I just told you, don't be leeried in and taken in by somebody's books. Once you find out some stuff, you need to ask some questions. What in the Hades is going on here? And then it says, the IMO, 99% of those who publicly oppose the PDC and Grace Community Church dialectic process are really in favor of it. Then he says, they are Satan's agents. Well, we're going to dedicate the rest of this presentation to this and to let you know how far on target this man was that sent me this. before we get into our dialogue, because if we go over an hour, we're just going to do that. I have another article called America's Biggest Megachurches. Now, this article was written by Jesse Bogman, Forbes.com. And I got you a copy over there too, Bob. And Bob, we're going to read this because this article, Mark, what it does is it defines what the church has become. Now, MacArthur's church is one of these. His church is one of these. Now, he may have the deal where we are Bible, we train men in Bible. What's your connection with other groups that are socialist groups, and where are you getting all this money to fund these things all over the world? Don't talk about TBN. I want to know about Grace Community Church. Man, what is that all about? I haven't seen, man, listen, when those of you that are young that don't know what I'm talking about, when the first missionaries left Europe and went out to evangelize the world, they didn't have a lot of money. They just sent out a husband and wife team, and most of them got crashed on and killed and beat up and run out of Dodge. And now they're sitting facilitators. Listen to this article. Houston. A Saturday evening at the Second Baptist Church in Houston is like Christian worship in most American towns. A sermon, some music, nice people walking from the parking lot with the Bibles in their hand. But the difference is scale. Second Baptist Church is the second largest megachurch in the United States, a modern cathedral complex the size of an airport terminal. Inside, they have an e-gym where the congregation's small Saturday evening service is being held. Two basketball courts full of believers in jeans, flip-flops, rock out, sing along, and just watch as a huge contemporary band jams to the song, "Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble?" Yes. It says white and yellow stage lights hit the rising smoke before the performance cools down for the opening prayer. Can you believe that? Never in my life have I meant that. Then it says the sermon stops for applause. Oh, my God. Stops for applause as the audience watches a video projected overhead of a Christian Gone Wild beach retreat where the church baptized merely 700 teenagers. See what I mean? See what I mean? Facilitated these jokers right into a trap. You're not going to find 100 teenagers all believing in Jesus Christ in this country at one time. If you do, I'll eat a rat. Anyhow, let's keep going. Spread across five campuses, Second Baptist has about 24,000 people attending or another of its programs each week, one another of its programs. The church has fitness centers, bookstores, information desks, a cafe, K through 12 school, free automobile repair service. What? For single mothers? What? Man, they got to be tripping. And then it says the annual budget is $53 million. Somebody says, we are a town within a city, says Pastor Edwin Young, 73, whose sermon style ranges from conversational to yelling to Southerner about to weep. That's right. See, he's going through some changes.
He can turn it all on.
He can turn it all on. He can reach every crowd. Right. And, see,
I remember Ed Young. Ed Young was part of the Promise Keepers movement.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah. I think that guy.
That's the Ed One. He was once head of the Southern Baptist Convention also. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was head of that convention. And I remember years ago when I was a young Christian man, he was one of the hallmark guys speaking out against this. Mm-hmm. He was speaking out against all this stuff. He says, God never, and now look at Ed. Mm-hmm. Ed's just falling right in line. And that's why I'm speaking about MacArthur. They all fall in line. And then he goes on. He said, it says, churches across America, like shopping malls, houses, corporations, hospitals, schools, and just about everything else, have erupted in size in at least a few decades. The number of megachurches in the U.S. has leaped to more than 1,300 today from just 50 in 1970, featuring huge stages, rock bands, what's this? Jumbotron screens, buckets of tears, and oodles of money, as well as the enormity of the facilities, pastor personalities, and income